I'm Mark Steiner, and welcome today. It's a pleasure to have you all with us. We're going to talk with Dr. Bill Thomas today. We're going to talk about aging, about our elders, about getting older, about how to care and treat and live with people as we get older in our world. Bill Thomas is an international authority in geriatric medicine and elder care. He's founder of the Eden Alternative, a philosophy and program that works to deinstitutionalize nursing homes. He's been doing it worldwide for the past 20 years. He's the developer of The Greenhouse, a radical new approach to long-term care where nursing homes are torn down and replaced with small home-like environments where people can live together, interact with each other, make meals together, have more of a home. He's professor of the Erickson School at UMBC, author of 6 books. The most recent is What Are Old People For? How Elders Will Save the World. And let me just give you a quote to give you a sense of where we're about to go here. Two of my favorite quotes, actually, that Bill Thomas gave, who is a Harvard-trained physician. Just the words long-term care industry make me want to throw up. And a hospital and poorhouse got together, and they had a baby. And that baby was a nursing home. Bill Thomas, welcome. Good to have you with us.
Great to be with you, Mark. I promise I won't throw up on you.
Please, no. No, not here. Make me a mess in the studio. 410-319-8888. Many of us are getting to that point where people will call us elderly. Many of us have older parents. We have grandparents. We know that many of them are put into nursing homes. We know the pain of loneliness that many of them feel in those homes. And most of us know there has to be a better way. We're going to talk about what that better way might be with Bill Thomas. And you're free to join us with your thoughts and questions about it all at 410-319-8888. Write to us at steinershow@gmail.com. So, Bill, again, it's good to see you. Welcome back.
Glad to be with you, Mark. It's nice to be invited to join you.
So it's good to have you here. Grab it when you can, come through town and do what you do, and here you are. Let's just talk about that. I want to just throw those words back, because they really are provocative words.
Yeah.
But I think they form a basis of a philosophy and pragmatic view of aging that you have that will get us, our listeners, a sense of who you are. Just the words long-term care industry make me want to throw up. And a hospital poorhouse got together and their baby was called
a nurse. Let's start with the long-term care industry thing. Here's the trouble. Caring for older relatives or people we love or older historically has not been an industry. You know, it's been a function of family and community and kinship. And, you know, I don't want to be nostalgic because sometimes families did it well and sometimes they did it very poorly.
Right.
That's still true today. But this idea that caring for our elders could be made into an industry and that, you know, giant corporations could somehow manage to care for people, that's what I object to. I think care is really an affair of the heart and not just a matter of customer service.
Well, let's talk about how you came to all this. I mean, you got your degree in medicine, did your residency.
Yeah. So I graduated from Harvard Medical School in 86, and then I did a residency in family medicine, became a family doctor, but wound up practicing emergency medicine. And I you know, in the early 1990s, I thought I was like Mr. Hotshot emergency room doctor. But I just by chance took a part-time job in a nursing home and just fell in love with the people and the work and realized here was a place I could make a difference.
But you there's a story about you that what started to change your attitude about treating people who are aging was when you went in to treat, I remember the story right, you went to treat a woman who had a rash.
Right.
Is that right?
Yeah. So I was working in this nursing home, trying to be a good doctor and do my job. And I got called to see a woman who was complaining of a rash on her arm. And I went into the room and kind of said, "How are you today?" And did my, you know, doctor thing and looked at her rash. "Oh, we could take care of that." And it's a very old, very thin, very pale woman who took a hold of my arm and she kind of just pulled me down over the bed and said, "I'm so lonely." And I mean, the words, "I'm so lonely," those words just staggered me. And I was like, you know, didn't know what to say. And I went back and I wrote an order for the cream for her arm. But I mean, when she spoke those words to me, it changed my life because I had to do something about that loneliness. And I, from that day forward, I lived a different life.
And this is where the whole idea of the Eden alternative was born.
Right. Yeah, I mean, here's the thing. America has, believe it or not, more nursing homes than McDonald's restaurants. And
really?
Yes.
More
yes. they're not as noticeable as the Golden Arches, you know?
They're not drive-through yet.
Yes, very short stay. So, no drive-through yet. But what happens is that the environments inside of nursing homes are very sterile. And it would be hard to call them lively or full of life. And I realized that instead of thinking – this goes back to that long-term care industry comment. Instead of thinking of nursing homes as factories where you put older people who need treatment and services – I wanted to think of them as gardens. And the reason I chose that metaphor is I believe very, very strongly, and I think the evidence is on my side, that older people can grow as human beings, that they have the capacity to grow, even if they're living with dementia or they've had a stroke or, you know, they've got health problems. People can grow. So I became committed to this idea that I needed an alternative to the industry. And the alternative was to aim at something more like a garden. So that became the Eden alternative.
But talk about what that is. I mean, talk what you did to that nursing home and how that transformed it and the movement it led to and what exactly that all means.
So I had this experience with this woman. And after I had this experience with her, I was really torn up. And I went through all of my medical books and I started talking to people about what do you do for loneliness? What do you do for loneliness? And gradually it occurred to me that even though the nursing home was full of people, that it wasn't really based on friendship. It wasn't based on real connectedness. It was based on I'm your med nurse, here's your pills, and it was based on service, you know? So what we decided to do was go really down to basics. Where do people find companionship? Well, one very big place they find companionship is with animals. I mean, I think over 90% of all Americans have lived at some point in their life in a household with companion animals, pets.
Right.
Most of the people listening, almost everybody at one time or another has had a pet in the household. And yet I look around the nursing home and here are some really lonely people. They have no pets. I mean, that seemed really basic. So we brought into the nursing home dogs and cats and rabbits. That's another story. And birds. And gave every elder there an opportunity to have a pet. And we brought in green growing plants, 1,000 plants. And we brought in a child daycare center. And we plowed
for the workers' children?
It's a small community for the whole community. And we plowed up the backyard and put in a playground for the kids and also a garden. And we noticed that this – we did research and we could show that this made a big difference in people's lives.
I mean, it changed things that people talk about all the time, which is the cost of prescription drugs, what people spent on medicine, the turnover workers.
Right. I mean, if you talk about some of the big problems, nursing homes have a hard time hanging on to employees, and yet people were staying. Nursing homes spend a lot of money on prescription drugs, I think too much, and we were able to show a decrease in the prescription drugs. So we were able to link what we were doing to kind of better outcomes for the elders and a better business case, you know?
So you have this, I mean, idea that of transforming the world of nursing homes in America. You've transformed maybe 300 nursing homes out of what you told me before we went on the air was close to 16,000, more than 16,000
right.
nursing homes in the United States of America. So that's 300 out of 16,000. We'll get to that, my point about that later. But let's just move this ahead of it. And by the way, folks, we're talking with Bill Thomas. Dr. Bill Thomas is a Harvard graduate, medical school graduate, founder of the Eden Alternative, developer of Greenhouse, which we'll talk about more, professor here at the Erickson School at UMBC, author of 6 books on aging, and is talking with us about a different way to treat our elders, the question of aging, and what we might be able to do to transform our relationship with our elders. And many of us soon will be those elders. 410-319-8888 is the number here. Write to us at steinershow@gmail.com. You have parents. You may be elderly yourself, worrying about having to go to a nursing home, worrying about where your parents will go. Is there a different way to think about what we should do? So join us here with your questions and thoughts. But I want to kind of take it from the Eden Alternative and talk about the greenhouse.
Sure.
And I really want to kind of be able to sense this the kind of the philosophy of what can happen with, because there was a story I read about you where you, a Mississippi Methodist group that was building a nursing home, was going to spend $12 million on a nursing home. The guy who runs the thing met you, started talking to you, stopped the show and said, "We're not going to spend $12 million this way," and built it in a totally different way.
Right.
So, I mean,
I'll tell you the story.
What's going on there?
Okay. I mean, here's the thing. You have to understand, I've worked for most of my career. I've been a doctor taking care of people who live in nursing homes, and I've met some of the most wonderful aides and the nurses, and I've even been in places where I think they're doing a good job, but even when they're doing a good job, it's still a nursing home. So over the years, I became an abolitionist. I believe that placing millions of older people inside institutions almost always against their will is wrong. And because it is I think it's a grievous social wrong, I think I have a responsibility to develop alternatives that can make the old nursing home obsolete. I want it to go away. But you don't just say, "I want nursing homes to go away." You have to say, "And here's the plan." And you have to have some way of replacing them with something different. Now, one way is to help people get taken care of at home. And there's a lot of progress being made there. John Stewart, who worked for a long time with the Council on Aging in the city of Baltimore, has done some really great stuff on that. But that's only part of it. There's still going to be people who need more care than they can get at home. What are we going to do for them that's not a nursing home? So about 5 or 6 years ago, well, I guess maybe now I think about it would be 7 years ago, I started asking myself the question, if I was going to create an environment for people who can't live at home and are older and have health problems, what would it be like? And that question in my mind really became this idea of a green house. And people say to me, what do you mean greenhouse? That's confusing. And I say, a one-word greenhouse grows plants. I'm talking about a two-word greenhouse, the greenhouse. It grows people. And it's trying to take that idea of a garden and growth and apply it to the needs of older people without having a nursing home.
So you have people living in this greenhouse. They live in
10 people.
10 people to a home.
Yeah.
People have their own room, their own bath.
Own bathroom.
A collective or connected communal kitchen area.
Yeah. All the food is cooked there. A hearth.
So they the nurses' aides, but you have a different name. But this is really you have this other name you made out of. It's a Persian
word.
Persian word.
So, Shabazz.
Shabazz. Right. Mm-hmm. It's not a nurse.
No. It's a person who works with elders to help bring them the best day possible.
Now, are these people who do this, Shabazz, these people who do this job, and they're in this, let's say, in this setting working with older people. So, are these the kind of aides in nursing homes transformed into different jobs, different human
bigger
beings?
Bigger job.
A bigger job.
Yeah.
And more respected for their work.
More respected and better paid.
Because a lot of people, who get this, we have in Maryland and other places, we get these $9 an hour jobs, cleaning bedpans and resenting the old people, and loving the old people, a mixture of all that.
But
this changes that.
Yeah, it does. They have better pay and better training and a bigger job and more control over their day. But let me go back to what you said for a minute, because one of the big problems we have with the nursing home is that we take good people, big-hearted people, loving, caring people, and they come into the nursing home, and then we squeeze them into this little tiny job that doesn't have as much respect as it deserves, doesn't get the pay that it deserves, doesn't get the authority that it deserves, and then we wonder why we're not getting the results we want. So I want to make it really clear. The problem in nursing homes, by and large, is not the people. Probably there's people listening right now to the program who've known really tremendous caregivers who've worked in nursing homes. That's not the issue. The issue is the kind of job we put them in. And the nursing home demands that big people be squeezed into a little job, and that causes problems.
So I'm curious how you, our listeners, would transform nursing homes. How would you, if you're living in them now, supposing you have a parent in one, think about where they are. 410-319-8888 as we talk with Dr. Bill Thomas. Write to us at steinershow@gmail.com. That's 410-319-8888. I have a friend who has MS.
Mm-hmm.
He's not that much older than I am.
Mm-hmm.
And so he lives in a nursing home.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm there a lot, hanging out with
Great.
Him.
Great. Good for you.
Drink a bottle of wine, talk, you know, hang out.
Nice.
Make his transfers even when he's had a bottle of wine. He's pretty strong. But at any rate, we are in this nursing home. It's not a bad place.
Right.
But it's also regimented. In other words, you get up at a certain hour if you want to have breakfast. You got to be in the dining room at a certain time if you want to get food. Your medication's limited, just wheeled around. You're kind of isolating these little rooms. People do socialize some, you know, but they have – it's just – it's almost – it infantilizes people.
Right.
In some ways.
Well, actually, I mean, in some ways, babies have it better because there's a much clearer understanding that when you're taking care of a baby that it's very important to sort of adapt to meet the needs of the baby. And the baby will help you with that by screaming. But you know, it's understood when you're taking care of a baby, you know, every baby's different and different baby. If you've had more than one child, you know how you take care of them each differently. It's kind of worse in this institutional setting because everybody is considered to be the same, and everybody's going to eat at the same time, and people are going to be entertained at the same time, and so on. So actually, a good goal would be that people would get the same kind of older people would get the same kind of individualized care that just fits them. The way a loved baby does.
So if all of us who have parents were older, and I mean, I was lucky that my father, before he died, didn't have to go to a home. But I mean, many people struggle with that.
Mm-hmm.
And that people are horrified by the idea of having to separate their mother, their father, mm-hmm. from the rest of the world and the rest of the family.
Mm-hmm.
And so you have this idea of these greenhouses. Transforming the way people live in individual homes, 10 people each, food prepared there, the smell and feel mm-hmm. of a home, plants, animals, old people interacting, mm-hmm. young people can come in and mm-hmm. visit and go back, and mm-hmm. it's a different world. Mm-hmm. So one of the things I want to explore after we get this first call in here is how do you take ideas like yours, things that have been successful in over 300 mm-hmm. nursing homes? Well, they've been
– Yes.
And make them – and change the entire industry. I mean, in other words, we have this piecemeal thing. There's 300 – where in 300 places, there's 16,000 nursing homes.
Okay.
So
– you can't change it from the inside. You can't simply go inside the long-term care industry and change it. You have to get outside because what I've learned over the years is the long-term care industry or nursing homes or, you know, this whole – area is a creature of the bigger society. I mean, think about it. We're a nation with more nursing homes than McDonald's restaurants. You know, at any given time, you know, you have 1.6 million people going to bed in a nursing home. I mean, this is big. And in order to change it, you have to get outside to get leverage to make the whole field change. You know, I can change. I can work with a nursing home. You could drive me, the one your friend's in. Let me go there. Let me become the medical director, and I'll roll up my sleeves, and I can go to work on that nursing home. But in order to change the whole field, you've got to get outside of the field. That's the key.
I'll come to that. But let's go. Mm-hmm. I'm going to come back to this, and then we're going to talk about some other things you've been writing about in your blogs that I found fascinating. We're talking with Bill Thomas. Dr. Bill Thomas is an international authority on geriatric medicine and elder care. Founded the Eden Alternative and the Greenhouse, two words, different ways of approaching caring for our elder citizens, our parents, our uncles, our aunts, our families. He's a professor at the Erickson School at UMBC, author of 6 books, most recently, What Are Old People For? How Elders Will Save the World. 410-319-8888 is the number here. Write to us at steinershow@gmail.com. And Judith in Baltimore, you're on the air.
Yes.
Hi, Judith.
Hi. I just want to say that for years and years and years, I mean, I'm old now, and watching all these housing developments go up,
mm-hmm.
I've always thought that at least one house there should be for the elderly. And then all the relatives, I mean, if, and it would be for the people who live there, for their parents or for whoever, you know, so that their relatives would be there, and there'd be children all over the place, and etc. That's it.
No, Judith, I love that idea.
I have to say, thank you, Judith. You were way ahead of your time. Beautiful. And I want to tell you, too, that I've had a chance to visit places like that in Scandinavia.
Uh-huh.
And in Scandinavia, they often build kind of apartment complexes and sort of housing units where space for older people is built right in.
Right.
So, for example, there'll be a place for daycare and a place for older people to be, and they make it easier, much easier than Americans do, for older people to be with children and children to be with older people and adults to be there. I mean, they really, in Scandinavia, seem to find much more value in connecting the generations than we do here in the United States.
Right. Well, I don't know if there could be a law passed, you know, or something.
It's a local question. So here's where the zoning board and the kind of the village council, town council, they really have some say over that. And I think what you're suggesting is wise.
I mean, I think it is. I think it's a brilliant idea. I mean, one of the things that I'm on a council that deals with how to end homelessness in Baltimore
mm-hmm.
in 15 years, if it can happen. And one of the keys to all this is housing policy. And housing policy is a key to this as well in terms of, you know, insisting on if you're going to develop this property that this is part of that development. That this
right.
is how we want our communities to look.
Right. Yeah. That's a sense of community responsibility that actually I'll just say as a geriatrician, I'm a doctor who, you know, takes care of older people. One of the really nice things about being a geriatrician is that working with older people really keeps you tuned into the needs of vulnerable people because, you know, many of your patients are people that society tends to forget about. And
well, it seems to me we better start thinking about it in a larger sense. I mean, I looked at one of your blogs today
mm-hmm.
and before I went on the air, and when I saw the statistics that you wrote about in this blog, let me just throw some out to you so we can talk about what the significance of this is in terms of how we have to think about what's about to happen. 38 million people over 65 in the year 2007, mm-hmm. 11% increase in a decade. That's 1 in 8 Americans.
Mm-hmm.
And the current increase in older Americans, you write, new 65-year-olds minus deaths, 630,000 a year. That the 85-plus population will increase from 35 million in the year 2000 to 40 million by 2010, which is just a year away, and 55 million by 2020. So
that's big.
It's huge. So we better start thinking very creatively and clearly about what, beyond the whole debate over Social Security, which we can talk about in a bit,
uh-huh.
over what elder policy means in America.
Right. Okay. For a long time, American society, in particular, after the end of the Second World War, American society had a youth obsession. I mean, America's always considered itself a young country. And let me give you a fact that very few people know. It turns out, if you look at the population of the United States of America, America was the youngest population it ever was at the very birth of the nation, 1789, the first census, okay? In that first census, if you look at the age population, we were as young as a people as we ever were. Ever since then, we've been getting, as a people, we've been getting older and older and older. Now, you might, well, that's not good. Actually, that's great. I mean, the reason we were so young is people were dying. You know, we had, at the time, a nation of recent European immigrants with high mortality. Well, now, so we've been becoming an older nation, and it's a sign of success. Now, after World War II, we had what we kind of call the baby boom, and there was this little flurry of youth that passed through the society. But the fact is, we're back to the main business of America, which is, for 200 years, becoming ever gradually an older population.
But that's seen as a disaster on another level.
I know.
We see it as a disaster, A, because we have this idea that it's going to bankrupt Social Security, that it's the end of life health care that destroys our health care system, some people argue, that that's where all the money is being spent as opposed to being spent on other things for a nation and for younger people, that the aging of our population is a disaster.
Right. This is what I call the plague of locusts idea of aging, that running around screaming with our hair on fire, what are we going to do with all these old people? And you know the question that never gets asked, where are these old people coming from? where did they come from? You know, did the Martians dropping them off at night? And the fact is, they're us, and we are they.
Right. They're across the glass. The 20-something producers and engineers
will
one day be old people.
Congratulations.
With any luck, they'll be old people.
I'm rooting for you. You could do it.
But we've broken that sense of continuity and that sense of connection in America between old and young for lots of reasons.
Yeah.
I mean,
and some good reasons. I'll give you a little life history. So I grew up in what is the northern part of Appalachia, and I actually grew up in along the Wapasinin Creek, and there was along the creek there was my house, my mom and dad's house, and then next to that my grandmother's house, and then my great grandmother's house, and next to that my great aunt and uncle's house. Okay, and we had three generations. Four generations, all there, all very close together, and all cooperating with each other to get by. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And I grew up in this, what you might kind of say as well. I had the close family and the older relatives, and everybody was there. When I turned 17, I got into a car and went to college and basically never went back. In other words, when I was given an opportunity to choose a life where I got to go to university and go to medical school and residency, I took it. So, you know, the reason we have the society we have today with all the mobility and, you know, the education and people following opportunity is because it's what we want. The conflict comes when we hold on to outdated, nostalgic ideas about aging, and every grandpa ought to have a rocking chair by the fire. And we're not living in that world anymore. And what it means is we have to build a new kind of aging that suits us in the 21st century.
We want you to join us here. We're going to take a short break and think about the elder population in our world. Think about your elders. Think about being elder yourself. Think about what we do in terms of Social Security and Medicare. Think about what we do about shoving people off in nursing homes and forgetting about them. Or maybe we don't forget about them, but they feel shoved off because they're in worlds that are institutionalized rather than a way of caring for people that are still vital parts of our lives and their own lives. 410-319-8888 is our number here. Bill Thomas is our guest. As we go to break, I want to remind you the Mark Steiner Show is brought to you by MeQ, Baltimore's credit union, offering a full range of financial services. MeQ was formed in 1936 to help people during the Great Depression. And over 70 years later, they're still there to help people during difficult times. More information is available at mecu.com. And the number here is 410-319-8888. We'll take those calls coming in as soon as we return from this very brief break. Welcome back. I'm Mark Steiner. Reminding you, the Mark Steiner Show is made possible by the Maryland State Mortgage Late Don't Wait program. For more information and personal counseling, the number is 1-877-462-7555. And we're talking this hour about elder care, about our elders, about how in this world we can transform the way people are taken care of, the way people who leave nursing homes can live a different way of life. It doesn't have to be the way it is. How do we get there? What's the alternative and other ways of doing it? You can join us here at 410-319-8888 or write to us here at steinershow@gmail.com. We'll get to these emails in a minute. We're going to go to the phones as we talk with Dr. Bill Thomas, our guest today, who's a professor here at UMBC at the Erickson School. He's founder of the Eden Alternative and developer of the Greenhouse, two revolutionary models that actually work about how to transform nursing home care, author of 6 books. The most recent is What Are Old People For? How Elders Will Save the World. 410-319-8888 is our number. And Monica in New York, you're on the air. Hi, Monica.
I love what you're talking about. And I think that the idea of greenhouses, two words, is a fantastic idea, as well as getting outside the industry to change it. But I wonder how you feel about the fact that it's more of an international industry than ever before. As Japan gets older and India gets older, nursing homes are starting to crop up and people are starting to kind of dissolve the extended family network, and Medicare and Medicaid in these countries that have filial piety are getting cut.
Mm-hmm. Boy, you're talking about Japan. And thank you so much for your comment.
It's really important. So yeah, stay with us while he answers.
Actually, I've had the privilege of doing a lecture tour through Japan. And that book, What Are Old People For?, was actually translated into Japanese. And so I've actually gotten to tour long-term care settings in Japan. There's really what I've observed is two things happening over there. First off, every time a Japanese citizen is admitted to a nursing home, every time that happens, that person is the first person in the history of their entire family to ever be cared for outside of the home. In other words, right. here in America, we're like, oh, you know, grandma had to go to the nursing home. There, it's the first time ever any family member had to do that. And Japan has two things that make it worth watching. First off, they have a very low birth rate and a low amount of immigration. So as a result of that, they're, as a proportion, they're like 15 or 20 years ahead of us in terms of how old the society is already. And on the plus side, they've done some pretty cool things there about working with the community to help the community look after elders in the community. They've tapped into some of that filial piety spirit.
Mm-hmm.
On the downside, they're building nursing homes as fast as they can.
Well, one of the things I think, Monica, I don't want to put words in your mouth, but I think one of the things she was alluding to or saying directly is that part of the problem is that there's an internationalization of the nursing home industry.
Yeah.
I mean, it's huge business.
Yeah.
It's so to transforming that. Is Monica still there? Is that what you were saying, Monica?
I think that's a large part of it, but I also think it's kind of driven by capitalism in general, like the need to continuously be working and not be able to be home and not be able to sustain an extended family kind of setup.
Right. You're making a great point
about a
living wage. And if I may say, the challenge for, and in American society, this falls very heavily on women, to sort of be the middle sandwich generation where there's an expectation that you'll be available to care for older relatives and make the peanut butter and jelly sandwich for the school kids of your own that you're sending off. So as a result of this, what happens is family relationships and family obligations tend to be diverted into an industrial arrangement where people have to pay for someone to live in an institution.
And it doesn't have to be that way.
No, there's a great example, I'll tell you, Monica, in Vermont. Vermont started a program where to keep elders who would otherwise be living in a nursing home, they're that sick and they need that much, they keep them at home by giving some training to and then paying family members to take care of them. Now, some people go, what? You're paying a daughter to take care of her mother? Are you kidding me? But let's back up a minute. What's going on is if that woman does not have an income.
She can't take care of her mom.
She can't take care of her mom. She's got to have the income.
And her mom will be institutionalized for a great deal more money.
Right. So scenario A, the daughter puts the mom in the nursing home and then goes to work and everybody loses.
Monica, thank you so much for your call. I really appreciate you listening and calling in. It was a really important question. Let's go to another caller here, 410-319-8888. And Doreen, you're on the air.
Hello.
Hi, Doreen.
How are you? I find this conversation so interesting. I work in occupational therapy in various nursing homes in the area, as well as doing some home care. So I've gotten to see how the elderly fare in nursing homes as opposed to in the home. And we were just having this conversation as a group today because in occupational therapy, of course, one of our main goals is to get them as independent as possible and in the least restrictive environment as possible that they could be safe. But I've seen so many elderly people, as you said, they're grieving everything, the loss of their home, the loss of their independence. And this greenhouse really interests me because I see the difference even when there's a lot of medical issues going on, but they are able to stay in their home, just the difference in their personalities and what it does just to be around normal surroundings. One of the nursing homes that I worked at, we used to do gigantic groups where we used to pull all the people into the kitchen area, and we would have, like, a big dinner. And it would be incredible to see people who had strokes who could only use one hand or low vision still remember recipes and start to talk about things not about the nursing home but about growing up and what they used to do in their own kitchens. And I love the idea of the greenhouse because they migrated to therapy because it felt and it reminded them of home. And I think the idea is just incredible. I'm also interested in home modification and being able to keep people at home longer.
Doreen, this is great. I encourage you to go to, I think if there's another place to go to, Bill, tell me, but is Changing Aging?
Yeah, Changing.
Is your blog?
Yeah, changingaging.org.
And you can kind of follow this, and maybe, you know, there's a conversation we could have, and please feel free to contact us to put you in another touch with Bill and other people who want to maybe help form something in our own community here to kind of really push places to change and be the model that he's talking about that you as an occupational therapist understand we need to have.
Well, I've got some very happy news, which is that a local organization called GEDCO, which currently provides housing for seniors.
And they build a stadium?
Stadium Place.
Right, Stadium Place.
They're
going
to build green houses at Stadium Place.
No kidding.
Yeah. And
that's wild.
Oh, we're going to love it. It's going to be we think it'll be the first in the state of Maryland. And they're a great organization.
They are really good. They do lovely stuff there.
And they've got the space. And so they're going to, instead of a nursing home being constructed, they're going to build green houses there. And really excited about the progress they're making. They're doing a great job and should be, you know how it is, I think a couple of years before they open.
No, I think it's an amazing place. They have, it's for seniors, there's daycare center there, the YMCA is there. It's a really very...
See, that's actually, if you look at that, for listeners who've ever been by the Stadium Place. That's actually closer to – it's closer to what you might see in a more Scandinavian setting where you've got young families involved,
right,
and you've got senior housing, and now they'll be able to take care of also people who need more care. So,
Bill Thomas is our guest, a man who has created Eden, the Eden Alternative, and Green, and the Greenhouse, of fighting and working and thinking and lecturing and being the spirit and moving force behind transforming our nursing, the world of nursing homes for our elders. 410-319-8888 is the number here. And Charlene in Baltimore, you're on the air.
Hi, how are you?
Hi, Charlene, welcome.
Thank you. I'm glad to be able to talk to you because this man is a man after my heart right now. I am a retired citizen, and I'm relatively young at retirement. However, my goal right now is to go back to school and major in gerontology. And it's just a beautiful thing to see older people who do thrive. To me, it is. And so I've in going to school, there are so many things that I've learned. And one of the things that I've learned is what you were just talking about, that there are communities around the world who build their communities around their elderly.
Right.
And that is what helps them to thrive because they're a part of the community and not just shoveled and shuffled away.
Absolutely right. I want to say a couple of things. Number one, you're a woman after my heart. And I love where you're coming from. And I want to say this to you right on the radio in front of tens and thousands of people. Come and be my student at UMBC.
Amen.
I would love to help you get a start in this field because we need people like you. And
I'm just I go to UMUC.
Oh, do you? UMUC. Fantastic.
I'm sorry. I do go to UMUC.
Oh.
And that is my major.
Good for you.
But if I can ever get a chance to get over there.
You come and see me.
Even if I just could sit in, it just sounds like something I would enjoy.
You would. Now, the second point is here is the old idea was that a person had a career and they worked and then they retired. And then, I don't know, they did whatever retired people do. Boom.
Right.
Done. Now we have much more of an idea that you've worked in successfully in a career and you've left that career. There's another career waiting for you. And I regard this as a positive development for people who have good health and whose strength and so on is well matched, you know, to doing this. Not everybody has the vitality,
right.
But if you do, what we heard about here was, you know, finish one career, begin another. You can have a third career. There's lots of opportunity in aging that we didn't see before as a society.
Thank you so much, Charlene. I'm really glad to hear from you, and I'm glad that in your retirement you're going off to do what you're going to do in geriatrics. I think it's phenomenal.
You go.
410-319-8888 is the number here as we talk about a new way of looking at aging, a new way of looking at taking care of our elders. Our guest is Bill Thomas, who wrote the most recent book of his six books is What Are Old People For? How Elders Will Save the World. He's a professor at the Erickson School at UMBC, and he is founder of the Eden Alternative and the developer of the Greenhouse, which we've been talking about, which is a radically new approach to long-term care, where people actually live together in houses, send people to a house, care for one another, have someone take care of them as well, with a home and a kitchen that is a hearth people gather around. So 410-319-8888. Write to us here at steinershow@gmail.com. But before I go to the emails, you wanted to say something?
No, you go. Okay. I'm ready.
Let's see. Kevin writes in at steinershow@gmail.com. Sounds great, but what about the cost? Half the issue is rising health care costs. Fail to prepare, and you're preparing to fail.
Well, cost is a constant. But in addition to the question of cost, and we'll talk about that, is the question of value. You know, if somebody were to pull a Ferrari up in front of the studio and say, I'll sell it to you for $1,000, you wouldn't say, are you kidding me? No way. You'd say, I'll find the $1,000 because the value is there. The big problem with institutional long-term care is that it costs a lot of money, but people do not feel that there's value there. You know, once again, I want to make it clear. There are good people working in the field. We heard from one of them here today. She's out there. She's trying to make it as good as it can be. But people don't say, oh, nursing homes, don't you love them? oh, nursing homes, aren't they great? So we're spending a lot of money and we're getting a small amount of value. So one of the things that Greenhouse does is it spends the same amount of money. A greenhouse does not cost more. It does not cost less. Mm-hmm. Same. But
talking about quality of life, though.
Yeah.
That's what you're talking
you
about.
You get more value. So taking care of somebody in a greenhouse costs the same. Now, they cost more to build than a regular nursing home, but on the other hand, everybody gets a private room and a private bathroom. And that's pretty valuable, and I think it's worth investing in.
410-319-8888. Is there another way? There is another way to dealing with aging and our elderly. Dallas in Towson, you're on the air.
Hi, thank you so much for taking my call.
Thanks for calling.
I'm really enjoying the show. I was a geriatric case manager for many years, both for profit and not for profit organizations. And I loved intergenerational programming that we were able to start. And I wondered what your thoughts are on that and whether there are any programs now with the high schools that have to have volunteer hours for their students. Just kind of general information about that area.
Yeah, I'd love to talk about that. First, I say there's an old saying familiar to a lot of people in the field, which goes like this. Why do grandparents and grandchildren get along so well? And the answer is they share a common enemy. And that's kind of a funny way of making the point that elders and children fit together very, very well. And it sounds like you've had that experience and you've seen that. What is wrong with our society is we've adopted a strategy that takes children and concentrates them over here in these institutions, and we've taken elders and concentrated them over there in those institutions, and actually they have very little to do with each other. What I'd like to see in the future as part of our growth of our society and our planning is creating more environments where we have people of different generations spending time together and benefiting from being with each other on a daily basis. And that's going to take time and planning and commitment to make that happen.
Dallas, thanks so much for your call.
Thank you.
I'm glad you joined us. 410-319-8888 as we talk about aging and a different way of approaching taking care of the elderly in our society and a way of making an alternative that is human and grows human lives. 410-319-8888. Our guest is Bill Thomas, Dr. Bill Thomas. 410-319-8888. Come back to the phones in a bit. Write to us here at steinershow@gmail.com. You just said, let's say, in terms of the greenhouse, that approach, that it costs as much to care.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe a little bit more to build, but as much to care.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
And that there, even in traditional nursing homes, there's a way, like in your Eden alternative, to do things in a different way and to hire people in a different way to make a living environment for people. So the question is, here we are in Washington, D.C., stimulus package being debated in the U.S. Congress. And we are on the edge of the possibility of transforming all kinds of policy in the United States of America. So let's talk about the macro scale here.
Yeah.
You can be a guerrilla warrior, as you are, and change things on the inside from home to home and getting your allies doing it all over the country. But there also is an approach sometimes that changes the way things are done by what policy does to change the way we deal with the elderly. Let's talk about that for a minute.
Wow. Well, this in my lifetime, we're entering into what might be the greatest opportunity that I will ever experience to achieve the kinds of goals that you were talking about, the goals I have in my work. And here's why. We have an economy. I don't need to go into it, in a sharp decline. We have a need to stimulate that economy. We have a need to make better jobs for people. So, and we have an obligation to care for elders. And if I got to kind of sneak into the Oval Office, and type up a memo, and I wish, I bet President Obama wishes it was that simple. But if I could do that, if I could put something into the stimulus package that's being debated, here's what I would do. I would make a 10-year plan to close every nursing home in America, to abolish nursing homes. Now, you'd say, well, wouldn't that put people out of work? No. What I would do is replace them with home and community-based services, with things like the greenhouses, with things like the Vermont program I talked about, where family members can be paid to take care of family members so they don't have to work outside of the home. I'd put together a package so that 10 years from now, that would be 2019, when we're looking at that 55 million, 85-plus population, I could say the United States of America does not institutionalize its elders. You know, we do not take people out of their homes and away from their families and put them into institutions. That is done. It's over. And I believe that in 10 years, we could replace the system we have today and get so much more value out of it. That's the thing. I mean, we're going to spend $100 billion a year taking care of older people who need nursing home care. Let's get some value for it. Let's create some jobs in the construction of these new facilities. Let's get better training for staff. Let's improve their pay like we've been able to do with the greenhouse. So I look at – I'm just telling you, I'm a geriatrician. I love elders. I love this issue, and it drives me bonkers that, the stimulus bill is, focusing on bridges and highways. I mean, I'm all for bridges and highways and all that, but – I'm saying here's a chance to really invest in the American people and turn the page on history so that we are no longer institutionalizing older people.
I want to go back to the phones here. I want to follow up to that, though, but let's go to the phones first. It's 410-319-8888. Is there a better way for us to address the elderly in our society? And Pat in Crofton, you're on the air. All right, Pat, you there? Is Pat there?
Yes.
There you are, Pat. Welcome.
Hi, this is Pat. Hi, this is Pat. I'm from Crofton, Maryland. The question I have is I've worked in the national disability community for many years, and this is a very important issue to us. And so I was wondering what was your perspective on that, because it sounds like you have some similar concepts and feelings as we do. And a lot of younger people with disabilities, both physical and mental, many times just automatically get put in nursing facilities. And so we're trying to get federal policy changed and funding so that we have alternatives. And so I would just like to hear your perspective on that.
Well, Pat, I first off, I'm going to tell you, I am the proud father of Haley and Hannah Thomas, who are two girls with profound developmental disabilities. And my wife, Jude, and I are involved with the issue of making good environments for children with disabilities every day because it's a part of our family life. And I so agree with you. In fact, I was talking to a friend earlier today about how we used to automatically take children with disabilities and take them away from the family and put them away.
That's right.
We outgrew that terrible practice. We still have farther to go. There are still challenges there. And I consider the fight I'm involved in as it relates to aging, I consider myself to be an ally of the people in the disability rights movement. And we in the field of aging owe them a lot because they've fought a lot of battles and really helped prepare the ground for what's happening with aging. So thank you, Pat.
Thank you.
She might be gone.
That's good. Going back to where we left off from before we end, I mean, you a lot of this is wrapped up in healthcare and in cost of healthcare and in reforming in what Medicare does and Social Security and the whole way we look at those issues. And you can't talk about elder care without talking about reforming the healthcare system.
Right. It all goes together. Here's the package as far as I'm concerned. America does not have the best healthcare system in the world. It has the most expensive healthcare system in the world. And there's two big reasons why it's so expensive. Number one, it's built around high technology, acute care. So, gosh, we have the best MRI scanners and the best laser surgery. We have the best medical technology. There's no doubt about that. But really, when it comes down to what most people need most of the time for good care, it's hands-on, basic hands-on primary care, you know, nursing care, supportive care. It's not the high-tech flash and dash. So here's what we have to do. We have to, and we can save money by doing it, we have to rebuild the system so that it's not centered on high technology and advanced subspecialty. It's actually centered on taking care of the basic needs people have, and that's where we build it from. And that's why I think this stuff we've been talking about with aging is really central to the healthcare reform thing. I'm trying to show people that you can really reform the system, and we can start with the elders.
Folks, if you go to steinershow.com.org, you can link to all of Bill Thomas's work. Connect with that, especially if you are elderly and you have older parents, want to think of a different way of doing things and how to deal with a nursing home you're confronting with your elder. Go to our website and you'll find Bill Thomas's work and figure out how to get involved. Bill Thomas, thank you so much.
Thanks, Mark.
The Mark Steiner Show is sponsored by Urbanite, and it hits the road with an issue of travel stories from regional day trips to journeys back in time. Urbanite is available for pickup at 800 locations region-wide and online at www.urbanitebaltimore.com. The Mark Steiner Show is a production of the Center for Emerging Media. Our producers are Justin Levy and Jessica Phillips. We're engineered by Zachary Coleman. Our interns are Christina Arison and Judith Lloyd. Theme music by Wal Matthews of Clean Cuts. To hear this show again, podcast any of our past shows, and hear additional interviews, visit us on the web at steinershow.org. And for public radio, WEAA 88.9 FM, the voice of the community. I'm Mark Steiner. Take care.